church. And as we continue through our study of a healthy church member series, the books are in the back. And if you didn't get one, feel free to take one. Even if you don't attend our church and you're just visiting, you'd like to have one, we have extra copies there for you. But I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament. And last week we talked about a healthy church member is an expositional listener. That means we don't just come and listen to a sermon, but we listen to the Word of God to find the meaning in what was God trying to tell us and what we can change in our lives. So this week I want to talk about a healthy church member is a biblical theologian. Are there any biblical theologians in here? And I'm going to explain to you, we use that term a lot. Well, you might be think of a theology professor at a seminary or a Bible college or something like that. But simply put, the word theology is theo, means God, and logi, or means study of. So it's the study of God. When we say biblical theology, it's the study of God as revealed in the Bible. And so it's almost like, if you want to put it in these words, it's like God's biography of himself or his resume. And we find things about God in the Bible. And a biblical theologian is a person that sets out to know God by studying the Bible, believing that it's God's revelation given to humans to be the source of material for developing all our thoughts about God. Now, just as the skit showed us this morning, we can make our own God, right? We can contrive and come up with what and who this God is. And people all over America and different religions and denominations are making their own God to fit what feels good in culture. But a biblical theologian finds out and looks at this book to develop all thoughts or beliefs about God. So it's not how I feel. It's not how Grandma feels. It's not how Pastor Mike feels. It's not about anybody else feels, but what's revealed in the Word of God. So that's a biblical theologian. And they're also committed to know God's big story of saving or salvation or redemption by understanding the history of His revelation. That's this. God reveals Himself to us in how the main themes and the doctrines of the Bible as a whole fit together to reveal God's big story of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a whole lot of preaching going on where preachers, if you ever watch TV preachers, I wouldn't really recommend most of them, but they take a scripture and make it say what they want to say. So they come up with a sermon. Well, I want to talk about this today to my congregation, so I'm going to try to find some Bible passages to support what I have to say. A biblical theologian looks at the Bible as God's plan of salvation. They don't just isolate a verse here and here and there, but they look at what does it tell me about my relationship with God through Jesus Christ? What does it tell me about salvation? What does it tell me about how to live in that salvation since I was so in desperate need of that salvation? Now, at the end of our time, I have what we went through in Bible college, a chart of the Bible from beginning to end, and there's a red line on this chart. And it's some. Can I have one volunteer to help me out with this morning, just to lay this out? There we go. Mr. Williams, we're just going to stretch this out. This is basically the Bible from beginning to end, and we're going to lay it up here, and you can come and look at it later. But if you can see that, there's a red line from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Now, the Bible's a big book. It's kind of confusing. How many of you take a Bible and say, well, this is a little overwhelming, right? But if we look at it from the perspective that it is about God's plan of salvation, of sending Jesus from beginning to end, when God created the earth, remember in Genesis, what happened? Adam and Eve sinned against God and they broke their relationship with God. And what did God have to do? He had to kill an animal to cover them as a temporary covering for their sin. That was the first picture of what was to come through Jesus Christ. And you see that all throughout. You see that with Noah's Ark, where God saves a certain amount of people in the ark who were faithful, who were righteous, who had faith in God. And that's now a picture of our salvation, as it says in the book of 1 Peter. So everything from the beginning and then points to Jesus Christ. It's an example or a picture of how God saves. So there's physical examples in the Old Testament to show what spiritually Jesus has done for us. So our main diet of Scripture should be the study of books. I overheard somebody talking this morning saying, I read the book of Matthew and I'm through Revelation. As somebody that's really hungry for the Lord, you can probably know who she is. She's reading it verse by verse, but she's also reading the whole book to get through the bigger context. But now she's going to, as she learns and reads books by books and grows in her walk with Jesus Christ, will eventually understand how it fits together with the big picture. So some people make the mistakes by just, well, I'm just going to read my favorite verse today. But forget about how it fits in the larger context. So we have to supplement this idea with a study of major themes throughout the Bible. Like, for example, our sin. We can start from the beginning of Genesis. The fact that we've disobeyed God. There's a what we call a doctrine or a theme of sin that we can look at all the passages of the Bible, what they say about sin, and put it together. So this is a lot to take in, but the benefits of practicing biblical theology or becoming a biblical is that we grow in our reverence for God because it's about Him and not us. It's what He's written and given us about Himself, not what we can make Him up to be. It helps us overcome bad ideas or wrong ideas. It helps inoculate the church against doctrinal controversies. We'd have far more peace in the church if more people studied the Bible as a whole. It is necessary to fulfill the Great Commission or the gospel. We need the Bible. It deepens our understanding and our facility with the gospel. In other words, our understanding of how to walk out our salvation in Jesus Christ. So, what God's Word says about a biblical theologian, we're going to pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to read verse 14. And so, for us to grasp the concept, Paul was writing a letter to Timothy, who is a pastor. He's encouraging him in chapter 2 to be a good soldier. He's talking about, in verse 8, about the risen Christ, the offspring of David, in which he's suffering and bound. And he says, I want to encourage you, if you died with Him, and there's a little Christian hymn here, if we've died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. So now, verse 14 in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Listen carefully. So in light of all that, he says, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. And then I want to pick up and read verses 16 to 19, and we'll jump back to that other verse in a moment. It says, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Arminius and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So, the first thing I want to bring up is that biblical theologians approach God's Word with reverence. In other words, having a great awe and a fear of God as we come to God's Word. He says, don't just use the Bible as a way to quarrel about words. And he says, remind them of this before God. He's saying, wait a minute. When we come to the Word of God, we're coming to the very presence of God because this is His voice. This is Him speaking to us. So it's not my idea. It's not what I have to find to support what I already think is true or my belief. But I come with reverence to God, because the Bible is God's very words and we're coming into His presence to hear Him speak. And the second thing I want to point out here is that the Bible should not be used to one-up others by quarreling about words and to wrangle about empty and trifling matters. And it says it ruins the hearers. And what does he mean by that? Now, he references a couple of false teachers, Hymenaeus and Philetus. They had gangrene. They had some issues. They were prideful. They were arrogant. And in 1 Timothy, I believe, chapter 1, Paul throws them or excommunicates them out of the church because they were using the scriptures to sound spiritual with words to lead people away from the truth of the scriptures. And so that's why he's talking about words that are quarreling and empty and trifle and have no meaning. And you know, a lot of times people will focus on one word or another and have an agenda with that. He says, don't use the Bible to quarrel, to fight in a sinful way. It only ruins the hearers. And if you say, well, wait a minute, there's going to be times when we need to defend our faith, right? And we believe that, but just don't worry about that. You can study 2 Timothy 2, verses 22 to 26. That tells you how to do it properly. He says, with all gentleness, teaching, not trying to lord it over other people and having a kindness and a gentleness about you. You know, I've been a part of churches and have seen people take the Word of God and just rip each other apart with these quarreling about words. They don't want to hear what God has to say or be humble to submit to one another out of fear for God. But they want to have people follow them. And so they use these things to quarrel. So the Bible is not being used to look smart by using it to babble. And that word babble means to discuss vain and useless matters. It leads people into ungodliness. So these guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, sounded really good. They were fine talkers. Has anybody ever met somebody that's a fine talker, but you said that we better get the shovel out? Even though it sounds fine, it's a bunch of phony baloney. It's horse manure. And that's what he's talking about there. He says, don't use the Bible to make yourself look smart and sound astute. I used to find it very humorous that, you know, we're talking regularly to one another, and then all of a sudden somebody would get up to pray, and then they would pray in Old English or King James. Thou knowest, Lord, that, you know, and it's almost to say that we're praying to the people in here and not praying to God. We are focused on sounding astute theologically. So isn't it kind of the opposite? You think, well, if I'm going to be a biblical theologian, I have to sound all proper. I have to have all my ducks in a row as far as sounding spiritual. The false teachers do that. God's not looking for that, and we're going to find out what He's looking for in a minute. But He's calling us to not look false. He says the Bible should never be twisted to support our own ideas and opinions. And he says, why? Because it upsets the faith of others. And the Bible is God's relationship letter to us as His children to lead us to depart from sinful ways. So, you know, I could take the Bible and make it say anything I want to say. I remember a professor in college would say, you know, this is how they do it. You take a verse in the Gospels where it says Judas went and hanged himself. And then you take another verse where Jesus is in a totally different situation. Go and do thou likewise. Amen. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. I can make it say what I want to say by picking and choosing verses here and verses there. I can take it out of context. I can ruin it. And that's what these guys were doing. They were saying the resurrection of Jesus has already come. You can live and be in perfection right now. That's what they were basically saying. It sounds like prosperity preaching today, doesn't it? The resurrection has already come. And we can live so heavenly now. We don't confess that that sickness, because God wants us to be whole and be healed and all this sort of thing. Well, yes, that's true. He does, but in His timing and in His way and according to His sovereignty. But they were basically negating the resurrection of Jesus Christ by doing this, by saying it's all happened. We're all perfect right now. That's it. We can be blessed and we can be richer than everybody else in the world. That's kind of how they got some people's ears here. This Hymenaeus and Philetus. He says, but God knows who are His and who are not His. The Bible should never be twisted to support our ideas. Anybody have feelings in here? Have you ever said this phrase, like, I feel like this is right, so it has to be right? Or, I feel like this is a good moral choice. We can't trust our feelings. So, if I feel something, our temptation is to say, okay, I'm going to look for it in the Bible. I'm going to find support for my feelings. I'm going to find support for my idea. I'm going to find support for what I believe and make it happen. Never mind the verses before that verse and afterwards. I'm just going to make it say what it says in that one sentence. So that would be like, you know, how the newspaper, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be interviewed by a newspaper or something like that, and you speak words, and then you read the article, and it's nothing like what you told them. You know, they took, you know, I remember one time that, I don't remember what it was exactly for, but all the things that I said about Christ and following God, they filtered all that out. And they made me look just like a good moral person or something like that. I don't know. But it wasn't at all what I had to say. And that's what we do with the Word of God so often. These guys swerved, it says, from the truth, or they twisted what the Word of God said. So the Bible is God's letter to us. So here's what I want to say. I love this quote, and this is part of the denomination I grew or was part of in Michigan, but they use this phrase a lot. I grew up in a denomination that stood for "I fight Christians anywhere." I won't say what that is, but it's they fought each other all the time, and who was the best, and who was perfect, and who was had their doctrine correct and perfect. But a biblical theologian, they have this idea: in all things that are essential, unity. What's essential? I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That's the essential doctrine of the church. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. The Bible is inspired of God. Those are non-negotiables. Those are essentials to be Christian, to be primarily what we would call Orthodox Christian. But in all things non-essential, well, Jesus is coming back before the millennium kingdom and this and that. No, He's coming before. And no, He's coming afterward. No, He's coming after this happens. And there's all these doctrines and beliefs. It's like, well, according to this calendar, Jesus is going to come September 21st. You know, remember that back in 1982? There was somebody that said that. In all things essential, unity. That's our calling as a church. But when it comes to non-essential things, let's give one another liberty. As we study the Word of God, and in all things, love. All things love. You know, as we work our way through the Bible, and when I was in Bible college, you know, we would sit in our lounge. You know, we just graduated high school, for crying out loud. And we were already debating and arguing about words that some of our professors were wrong. And I used to enjoy some of the ones that really thought they were right. And then this professor would open the Word of God and tear them apart, basically. Because my church, my little country church, they taught me that all my life. Well, it's not what God's Word says. And so God hasn't called us to be like that. We would sit around and, well, I believe this and there, and it was like to one-up each other, and we would argue, and it would get really loud in that lounge. You guys would be saying, forget this. But it's so easy for us when we pursue truth, and we want to be people of God's Word to get to that point. Just remember the faith in Jesus Christ, the essentials, and the non-essentials. Let's give one another some liberty. You know, there's orthodox beliefs in the Christian church, like the Trinity, like the salvation by faith alone, like that Jesus is going to come back. We don't know when. The Bible says we don't know when. He doesn't know. But those basic things. So biblical theologians are committed to becoming skilled in using God's Word correctly. Now let's go to verse 15. He says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who need not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, these guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are they going to be approved? Who are they in trying to impress? Huh? I heard it. People, yeah. People in the church to gain followers. But Paul tells Timothy, no, I want you, when you do your Bible study, you're here to please Jesus Christ, to please God. And so if we keep, as a biblical theologian, our primary concern pleasing God rather than promoting ourselves, we're going to keep ourselves being a biblical theologian that God wants us to be and not someone that causes sinful arguing. A biblical theologian works hard to study God's Word. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you in the past month have spent I'll give you this. How about the past year? You really sat down and really just wrestled with God's Word and looked up in your concordance the meaning of the words in the dictionary and say, I really want to find out what this means. Don't raise your hands. Don't answer that out loud. But if as a biblical theologian, if you want to become a healthy church member, it takes hard work. He says, study to show yourself or approved to God as a workman. He says, uses the word laborer or workman that does not need to be ashamed. Rightly handling the word of truth. Anybody like work in here? How many love to work? Okay, that's good. Some days I love to work, some days I don't love to work. But I'll tell you what, if I go for a year without work, I would go crazy, and you would too, because God created us to work. That's one of the ways that we find blessing and get glory from the Lord, or we glorify the Lord, is working for Him. So it takes hard work sometimes to study the Word of God. Now, I've had some pastors tell me that, well, and I said, well, what did you do to study for your sermon this week? Well, I just prayed and the Holy Spirit will give it to me. And I can tell you what some of those sermons sound like. The Lord said, ha! And I was going down to the river, ha! And I was doing this, ha! And everybody's, amen! And they're throwing out all Christian terms that they really know. And they're putting it all together in one big soup and one big mix. And then at the end you're like, what did they just say? I just felt like I was screamed at for a whole hour here today. And I didn't even know what was being said. So we have to study God's Word. We have to know what it says and put the work in it. So a biblical theologian becomes so familiar with the Word that they know how to correctly handle the Word of God. In other words, that word handle means to give it to me straight. That means presenting the Word of God as it is without mixing stuff in with it, my own thoughts and opinions, without taking things away from it. I remember a preacher that I grew up in my grandparents' church. I was just a small. I remember him my grandparents telling me that there were some people in the church that really had some liberal doctrines and beliefs when he first went. He started as a young guy. So he got up with a Bible and he says, well, we don't want to believe this part, so let's take it out. And he started ripping pages out of the Bible and threw it all over the place. Pretty soon they ended up with not very much Bible left. Okay, we don't believe in miracles. Let's take all those out. We don't believe in the virgin birth. We don't believe Jesus is God. Let's take all these out. We don't believe that we get to heaven by faith alone. Let's take all the numerous passages out by that. We have to work to get to heaven or whatever. And so pretty soon he had this empty thing and people were like... And from what I understand, from then on, the church committed to the Word of God. Those that didn't want it left, but that church grew, and a lot of people came to Christ because of that. So God wants people that correctly handle the truth. Now, is anybody that needs surgery this year and you'd like it for free? You need surgery? Is there something that you could share? What kind of surgery, or is it? Knee surgery. Okay. I went to Bible college, so I will do your knee surgery for free. I have some pliers in my toolbox at home. I think there's a knife on the cutting board in the kitchen, right? That's fairly sharp. I think. I don't know. Last time I tried to cut a tomato, it didn't work very well. But we'll just really get in there. No, thank you. Folks, this is what you should say, not only to yourself and to others who don't know how to use the Word of God. No, thank you. And so it motivates us for our own lives to say, you know what, if we wouldn't allow a pastor to perform knee surgery, but we want a skilled surgeon. We want somebody that knows the Word of God. How much more the people around us that we're loving on and ministering to, that we take the Word of God and say, you know what, I want to be skilled in this. And I want to give it to people straight without deviation and without diluting it down and adding to or taking away what it simply says. This is why I try to help myself, because I could deviate just as much as everybody else. It's why I give you these notes and these outlines, which most of the time are simply just putting in outline form what this passage, line by line, is saying. So, give it straight. Straight word. Nobody in here would drink lemonade if I just said, there's one little tiny piece of manure the size of this. Would you drink out of that bottle of manure? Or, excuse me, that bottle of lemonade? How about this? It's a big old tub of lemonade, and it's just a little speck of manure. And I told you, it's like, yeah, a cow walked by and something splattered in it, I think. I don't know. How many would drink it? Is there anybody in here? I used to have somebody that would say, yeah, I'll drink it, Pastor Mike. Yeah, there's somebody like him that would just do it for the sake of doing it. So... say, Lord, give it to me straight. I don't want to add my opinions or thoughts to it. I want to have it as it is, undiluted, undefiled, the Word of God. And so when we handle the Word of God as a skilled surgeon would handle surgery on our sister's knee, they would keep it in its context. So in other words, I don't just read a verse to support what I say. I find out what the surrounding passage says to get the idea. I don't filter it through my favorite lens. When I went to Bible school, there was a theology that some of the professors were teaching, and it's a big word, so I'm not going to say it. It's not worth even causing arguments in here today. But they would interpret Scripture through that already theological idea or lens. And so they already have a belief and system of how it works. And then, so then now let's go to the Bible and interpret it through it. A biblical theologian does not filter. They apply the truth taught only and what is intended or applied to. Now, there's a lot of applications from God's Word. Don't get me wrong. We could take something like where Paul says, run the race and for the prize that's set before you. And I could say, you know, we need to set goals for our life. So what goals do you have in your job? Well, that's what that scripture is saying. Well, if we read on, it says, to the prize that's in Christ Jesus, he's talking about our faith in Jesus Christ as we walk it out. So there's nothing wrong with maybe those applications of goals, but that's really not the meaning of that passage for our lives. A person who correctly handles avoids using isolated verses to promote their own doctrinal preference. They don't speak where the Bible does not speak. So where it's silence, boy, that's where people come up with all kinds of things. Where the Bible, what does God say about this, Pastor Mike? And I could say, I don't know. It's not written in the Bible. That means God didn't mean for us to know it until we get to heaven. But if we try to formulate a belief or a pattern, that's how these false teachers started, and that's how these religions start, and all these cults and things. But I like this quote: much of today's preaching reduces salvation to self-esteem. Your Best Life Now is the title of a book for that. Sin to just, you need to be adjusted a little bit, maladjustment. Church to group therapy, and Jesus to Dear Abby. We don't want that kind of preaching. We don't want that kind of knowledge as we come to the Word of God. So biblical theologians become acquainted with the Bible as a whole. Now let's go down to verses 14 and 15, and real quickly, if you can bear with me on these last few minutes here today. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Biblical theologians become acquainted with the whole Bible. You see, that's just, she wants to add what she's learned from Bible study already this week, so that's okay. So biblical theologians become acquainted, so they persevere with a firm belief, and they take the time to learn it. So if you're new in Jesus Christ, you know, I know Sandy says, "I just have no idea what this means or what this says," right? Not to embarrass you, but you're in the same boat with everybody else. Know that it takes a lifetime to learn the Word of God. So don't think that you're going to be an expert overnight. Everybody can just go, everybody take a deep breath now. It's like, Pastor wants me to be this biblical theologian. Timothy learned it from a childhood on to his adulthood, and he still learned. Paul and Peter still learned, even when they're in their late part of life, we're still learning the Word of God. So it takes time, but we're willing to take the time to learn. And don't expect it overnight. And it requires studying the Old and the New Testaments. And the reason why I put that in there, because he says you become familiar with the sacred writings. He wasn't just referring to Paul's writings, he was referring to the Old Testament too. There's a huge movement in the church today to say, throw out the Old Testament, we don't need it anymore. But it's a whole story. Without the Old Testament, we'd have a hard time understanding the New Testament and our salvation, because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of many things in the Old Testament that were prophesied. So we can't throw out, we have to be familiar with the whole book, because I want to tell you a little secret. The people in the Old Testament were saved by faith alone, just like we're saved by faith alone. They looked forward to the Messiah coming, and they had a temporary animal sacrifice as a covering or as a reminder of what was to come, because they haven't seen it yet. We don't have an animal sacrifice because Jesus has already come, and we're looking back on a fact in history. So it's always been by faith in one Messiah from the beginning to the end. So that leads to the next point, is biblical theologians realize the Bible as a whole carries the theme of salvation. And that's what he says. The Scriptures are able to make you wise into salvation. It points to Jesus Christ. And we study the Bible verse by verse in the great context of salvation by faith. And then the last point today that I want to leave you with is biblical theologians view the Bible as God's very Word, to live by. And I love this passage of Scripture. He just simply puts it, all Scripture is God-breathed. So he didn't say the parts that are approved by Pope so-and-so or by Pastor Mike or Christ Community Church. He said all the Scriptures that the church has attested to from the past till now, all 66 books, the New Testament and the Old Testament, that fit together in unity, these are the very words of God. You might wonder, why do we stand when we read the Word of God? Even from the Old Testament times, they stood because we're coming to the presence of God, or we're listening to the voice of the One who created the universe when He speaks those words. And if they are God's Word, He says it's useful for our teaching, our doctrine, our beliefs. It's useful for our reproof. In other words, it points out what we need to change in our lives. It shows us what's wrong. And then a biblical theologian understands the Bible is useful for correction. So not only does it point out where we're wrong, it tells us how to fix it or restore or get our life back in order with the Lord. And a biblical theologian understands the Bible is useful to train. And that word train in the Greek means what cultivates the soul by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. What passions? The passion to make that golden frisbee that our little puppy had problems with today. Passions to create our own God. The Word of God will curb that. An instruction to make us more virtuous or more like Christ. And then he closes with that. The Bible is useful to equip us for everything that we need to follow God. All you need is this. And so I want to challenge you today. Is go home, maybe read through these notes again, but more importantly, read through the Scriptures that we address today. Say, God, I want to endeavor and commit today to becoming a biblical theologian. I don't want to be like that surgeon that has no education in performing surgery to go and hack up somebody's knee. I want to be someone who's skilled in the Word of God. And if you make a commitment to do that and set out to do that and know that you don't have to be perfect overnight, but that it's a lifelong journey, God will bless and bless and bless. On the other hand, you have Hymenaeus and Philetus, these guys. It says their teaching spreads like gangrene. And what happens when you have gangrene? Legs have to be cut off. Arms have to... It's a poison that spreads and destroys the body. There are people right now having their head... Right probably at this very second having their heads cut off, or they're being shot because they believe in this. Right at this very moment, in Middle Eastern countries, how precious is this book that we would learn to correctly handle it and live by it in our lives? Father, thank you for your Word. And please, if I have said anything that is out of alignment with it, that you'd correct it through your lovely, beautiful body of Christ and bring us to your Scriptures. Lord, we're humbled that you would give us such a precious book. Forgive us for the times that we've neglected it. Forgive us the times we've used it just to support our own arguments or ideas. Forgive us for the times when we've used it to hurt others rather than performing skillful surgery with it. God, this is a precious book, and we thank you for it. And you've invited us into relationship with you through it. And God, I pray that you'd help us to remember every time we crack this book open that surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. and you speak to us. Lord, I ask right now in this moment that you would forgive us of our pride. Forgive us of exalting ourselves above your word. And Lord, we want to come and humbly submit to the authority of your scripture so that we can live a successful, holy life, a life that is pleasing to you, a life that's filled with your kind of joy, life that you meant for us to live and how you created us to operate. I just want to give you just a moment to speak your own prayers of commitment to the Lord concerning the Word of God today. Lord, I pray that you bless each person that's here. God, each person has wonderful gifts and talents. And I pray that you would give us understanding to your word as we dive into it. And Lord, I pray as Christ Community Church, we would truly be a community that has Jesus Christ as the head, that we operate in love, and we have our authority as your holy words is written in the Bible. Oh God, I pray that you'd encourage each person, that you give us a week, Lord, filled with opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone we come in contact. I pray that you'd protect each person and keep us safe as we follow your will. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a great day.